You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It is Saturday evening, October 11th. We have got an outstanding show prepared for you this evening. It's an outstanding time of year, so it's only right that we have an outstanding show tonight. It's October, a little bit before Halloween, my favorite time of year. Fall is in the air. Thanksgiving and Christmas aren't too far away. And it is my pleasure this evening to let you know that we have a bona fide international thought criminal live on the line with us right now. You heard it right, ladies and gentlemen. I would normally introduce this man, a good friend of mine, as the president of the National Policy Institute, formerly the assistant editor of the American Conservative Magazine and executive editor of Taki's Magazine. He's all these things and more now, ladies and gentlemen. He is a true martyr for the freedom of speech. He is, of course, the one and only Richard Spencer, back in the United States after a very interesting trip to Hungary. Richard, thank you for being with us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
Well, a week ago tonight, we were speaking with, and you're very welcome, I might add, and thanks for being with us. I know you're quite travel-logged, among other things. A week ago tonight, we had, as our live guest, Paul Fromm, who was staying up to the wee hours of the morning over in Budapest to give us his eyewitness take on the events there. Sam Dixon also joined that conversation. A week ago tonight, we didn't know your whereabouts or in what kind of condition you were in. I guess you were languishing in a jail cell somewhere in the country of Hungary, but I'm glad you're back home safe and sound into the U.S.
Yes, I am very glad to be here, and I didn't know what was going to happen either around that time. I think probably when you were on the show, I was just being checked in to a Hungarian detention center.
Well, I want to work our way up to that because I've got a lot of questions. I want to live vicariously through you and give our listeners tonight a real behind-the-scenes take on what that experience was. But let's first start from the beginning. Let's go back to the conception stages of the European Congress put on by the National Policy Institute, your vision for it, and then let's work towards the events of the last 2 weeks. What was your original intent for this conference? What did you set out to do in Budapest?
Sure. Well, actually, the European Congress originated probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it originated in the mind of William Regnery, who's my colleague and mentor. And he, you know, we have some things in the United States like American Renaissance or the Mencken Club or something like that, or the MPI conferences. And his idea was that we should have one like that in Europe, and one that would actually be unique in the sense that it would not just be based on a single nation, because there are many patriotic or identitarian conferences, you know, that are based on say France or on Britain or so and so forth, but one that really tried to bring together a lot of different forces, and including some Americans too, so that we could really understand ourselves as part of a wider European identity that is worldwide. And that there's obviously differences that separate us, but there's this common ground that's powerful. So that was a very simple idea, and we were in a way surprised that such an organization doesn't exist. We felt that it really needed to exist. And anyway, this idea bounced around for a couple of years, and we talked to some people about doing it. We thought it would be better if a European would do it, but we could not find the right guy, and so I just said, I really think this is a great idea. Let's just do it. And yes, you know, we're going to be kind of, you know, Americans going over to Europe, but you know, I think people are going to really take to this idea because it's a good idea. And you know, once we have one Congress, I think that we could really start to find a lot of good colleagues who we could work with in Europe, and that this could really become a kind of European Congress. And what we want is to basically have a forum where a number of different movements and forces that are that are traditionalists and understand the ideal of European unity, and who want to think about who are concerned about the present of European peoples and who want to think about the future of European peoples. And that if we have, it was kind of like that, if you build it, they will come. Once we have one, that we're going to meet all these great people who we can collaborate with. So that was basically the idea, and I still think it's a good idea. We also
Well, it was an excellent
that
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, let me just mention this. The European Congress, despite the fact that we were cracked down upon by the government and I was thrown into a prison, it will go on because the response is amazing. I mean, I thought that this might be a small gathering, 50 people, we all kind of know each other. We would have easily had 200 to 250 people there because the pre-registration was huge. Huge in my mind in the sense of it's an expense to go somewhere like Budapest. And the fact that we had all of this interest on the first time, I thought was really remarkable. So I think there's clearly a need for it. There's clearly a demand, and it will go on. But anyway, we had this idea of going. We were thinking about where should this take place. And, of course, if you want to talk about something like pan-Europeanism, or if you want to talk about our racial history or so on and so forth, that you're going to run afoul of the anti-racist and anti-quote fascist end quote and all the PC police. And so we were thinking, where could we do this? And one of the ideas that came to mind was Budapest. And it seems like to us that this is a place that in a way, because of the Cold War, it's not a place that like the United States or Western European countries that's just saturated with a lot of the PC stuff and the cultural Marxism. We thought it was a place that was a little bit, isolated from that. We thought it's a place where there's clearly a rightward, however you want to define it, traditionalist political culture. And we also thought that it's a place that we thought that we could, in a way, go under the radar to a certain degree, that they would not deeply care about what was going on. They would see it as an intellectual society, and maybe they disagree with it, or maybe they don't, but they wouldn't care that much. And also, Budapest, I had actually traveled there about 8 years ago, and it really is a fascinating place. It's a tourist destination, but to say that, it diminishes it. It's a place with really rich history, and it's the kind of place that I would want to go visit. And for the architecture, for the history, for the food, so on and so forth. So we kind of zeroed in on Budapest. Then we also discovered that some people whom I've worked with, who I know quite well, Arctos Media, they had actually decided, they're kind of like these wandering publishers around the world. They lived in India for a time and things like that. And they actually decided to relocate to Hungary. And we thought, this is amazing. This is great. Let's just, we can have some people on the ground. So we started to work with Arctos. And everything was going well.
Richard, hold up right there. Right there. Commercial breaks are a cruel master in nationally syndicated talk radio. But we're going to have to take our first one of the night. But we've got Richard for the whole hour, everybody. So we're going to give this a full and comprehensive treatment. And we'll pick up where we're leaving off right after these words. Stay tuned.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, and body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. vigor test, free, scientifically proven, today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm very happy to have my old friend Richard Spencer on the program for the entire first hour of tonight's live broadcast. Richard has long been a leader in this cause of ours. That's not in question, but I do believe that he has risen to the rank of hero after the events of the last week. You know, so often we wonder what we would do if we were put to the test and had to pay a price for our beliefs. Well, Richard willingly paid that price when he was put into prison for 3 days in Hungary for merely wanting to exchange ideas with other academics and scholars at the European Congress put on by the National Policy Institute in Budapest last weekend. And so, Richard, we were talking about the conception of this event, and you went into detail talking about it. It received a great response, not just from those in America who were familiar with NPI, but people from all over Europe were attending. 200 or 300 had signed up. And you had received, of course, support from sponsors such as Arctos Media, as you were talking about just before the break, and one of the biggest political parties in all of Hungary. Jobbik was originally on board as well.
Right. I was about to get to that. So we were very happy, obviously, with Arctos. And then Arctos has a connection to Jobbik. And Jobbik is a Hungarian nationalist party that has actually been remarkably successful. They aren't a majority party, but the majority party is, could be considered quite conservative and is by many admirers and detractors. So it is a right wing party that has been very successful. I was a little bit skeptical about involving Jobbik, just because I often feel like parliamentarians of any kind, that they're, what's the right way to put it? If you're working as a parliamentarian in government, your concerns are always tactical and of a short-term nature. They're concerned with getting elected, and as we know, voters have a very short attention span. So I didn't think in a way they had a lot to gain from us. I thought they probably, I could in a way kind of sense that there would be problems with this. But that being said, just to simply have any political party be willing to work with us, I mean, we are vanguardist intellectuals. We are considered politically incorrect or much worse than that. And just, you know, the idea that the Republicans would even return an email is pretty much unthinkable. So the fact that we were actually working with Jobbik was actually pretty inspiring. And so I kind of, you know, went with it. And so anyway, everything was looking great. Jared Taylor is going to be there. You know, Jared is obviously coming from a very American perspective. He's been a longtime, you know, racial activist. We also had Alexander Dugin, who's coming from a very different perspective. He actually has been influenced by a lot of new right, French new right thinkers and things like this. But he is a Russian traditionalist and a geopolitical thinker who thinks very much in terms of the Russian sphere of influence. So it was actually going to be amazing in terms of the variety of people. I was just very excited about it. And in terms of the response, I was excited about it. In terms of the, you know, people I dealt with at the venue and hotel and the walking tours, everything was just lining up. This is going to be a major event. It might be the start of something new for the future, where we could, you know, for the first time, a lot of different forces that are going to have some disagreements are actually going to be talking with one another. And that was very exciting. Anyway, I've just totally lost track of time. Maybe it was two days ago or 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Oh, go ahead. You might have a question.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and if I could interject here, now I certainly want to give you the floor for this because this is your moment. I mean, you are the man of the hour. But I would just like to reiterate very quickly that this was to be a meeting, and we mentioned this quite often last week, of intellectuals and scholars and academics set about to first of all, I guess, celebrate their identity, which is unique to them.
Yeah.
It's something that would be not only allowed but encouraged if it had been any other group of people or ethnic makeup or sexual orientation. But these people were to come together to celebrate that identity and to exchange ideas on questions that directly impact them and their families, so on and so forth. Everything was shaping up to go off quite splendidly. The response had been better than expected. And then about 10 days ago, what happens, Richard?
10 days ago, something happened. And I don't know how exactly it originated. From what I've heard, is that there were a lot of attacks by the Hungarian Socialist Party, which actually is the legacy party of the Hungarian Communist Party. Nevertheless, they started to make a fuss about it. And before that, there were many attacks on you know, Facebook and Twitter and blah blah blah. But to be honest, you know, like you, I'm just so used to this kind of stuff. I don't even notice it at this point. But a political party started attacking him. Then the Hungarian Ministry of Trade, which is not exactly, it's a smaller department. It's not the equivalent of, say, the State Department, but, you know, it's an official or, you know, body. It denounced it in a blog post that was a public relations statement. But actually, in this blog post, they used very strong language, like, "This is unacceptable." They said things like, "Americans are trying to link up with Russian radicals in order to slander Hungary," or some very, very strong inflammatory language like that. So anyway, at that point, I wrote a very polite press release where I said, "I think a lot of the nature of this Congress is being lost in translation. It is a place where different traditionalists and activists can come together and share ideas. It's a Congress about ideas. We are certainly not slandering Hungary or anything like that." And so I thought that might be the end of it, but it got a lot worse. The next thing that happened is that the Interior Minister actually denounced the Congress, and then the Prime Minister denounced the Congress. So we were denounced from the very top of of the political society in Hungary.
So and this would be like being denounced by Barack Obama himself, as far
correct.
As Hungary goes.
Correct. Yes, the prime minister is effectively the head of state. So it would be like Barack Obama deciding to voice an opinion about the political cesspool, how it shouldn't be on the air. I mean, it was very strong. And so anyway, I had gone through an emotional roller coaster of being euphoric to being depressed. I just couldn't believe this was happening. And, you know, that depression hardened into a defiance. And I thought to myself, we are in the right. Yes, you know, we're visitors. Yes, it's true we're not Hungarian citizens, but we are visitors who are coming to a country peacefully. We are giving Hungarian citizens an opportunity to take part in an intellectual life, to voice their own opinions. We are a peaceful gathering that we hope would be, you know, a place for important ideas to be shared. We are not doing anything wrong. Indeed, we're doing the kind of things that are right, the kind of things that you'd want to happen in a vibrant society. And I thought, we are morally in the wrong. Therefore, I will never back down. Because, you know, when you're wrong... Oh, no, I hear the music.
They're playing our song, Richard. You know what that means. But we're going to pick up. I'm very happy with the way this interview is progressing. We've got a lot more to come, ladies and gentlemen, including a behind-the-scenes take on Richard's stay as a guest of the Hungarian state, if you will. And we're going to get to all of that and more as we continue to follow this in a chronological order when the political cesspool returns.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I should add that if you ever have an opportunity moving forward to attend one of Richard's conferences, please don't let the opportunity pass you by. I had the opportunity not only to attend, but to speak at an NPI-sponsored event in Washington, D.C. I believe it was back in 2011. Richard and I shared the stage at the National Press Club, no less, there in Washington. And it was just a great event, one of the most memorable of my career, to say the very least. But this in Hungary would no doubt top it if only I had had the opportunity to be there. And certainly I wish I could have. But Richard, we were leading up to the event where the conference is to take place, or the day in which the conference was to take place. Obviously, just a few days ago, this began as a point of interest for a very left-leaning communist party, if you will, there in Hungary. And then it went all the way up to the head of state. You're being denounced by the prime minister of Hungary, and the plot thickened, to say the least. So you're just a day or two out of this event, and what happens then?
Yeah, we're about, let's say, 6 days out, and the prime minister denounces it, and then from there, things just begin to snowball. So Jobbik said, oh, we had no idea what this was actually going to be. You know, you can, I don't know if anyone believes that statement of theirs, but they made it to the Wall Street Journal. And then I actually learned from the venue in the hotel that the basically Hungarian agents had, government agents had gone to these places and effectively it forced them to break contracts. So we were reimbursed to a degree, but it was pretty appalling that a government would just basically intervene like that. And so we were basically lost at sea, I have to say. I mean, we had very few people on the ground helping us. We were being denounced left, right, and center. And it was a very difficult time. But in a way, again, I kind of went through a brief period of depression of thinking, oh, this just isn't going to work. And then that really hardened to a defiance. And I thought that, you know, if you're morally in the wrong, it actually takes bravery to admit that you're wrong and to change. But if you're morally in the right, you need to never, ever back down. And I knew that we were completely in the right. We were doing a conference that is the kind of thing that people hope would come out of a vibrant society, a place to share ideas. And I said, we just simply won't give up. We won't give in. We will defy the government and we will go forward. And, you know, maybe there was a little bit of a damn the torpedoes attitude, on my
part. Richard, if
you kind of need that.
I had that quote in my head. I was about to say, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Unfortunately, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if it's been a while since eighth grade history, I believe that came from a northerner in the war between the states. And unfortunately, I hate to borrow anything from them. But no, you're exactly right. And I'm inspired just listening to you talk about this, because we've all been part of canceled conferences. We've all have what I consider to be our very basic and fundamental human rights violated. You know, wasn't this what the so-called civil rights movement was all about? The right to eat where you want to eat, stay where you want to stay, rent a hotel room, peaceably assemble. Wasn't this what we were told that movement was all about? And so here we have the exact same thing being attempted to occur. And it did make international news. I mean, I want to impress that upon my listeners tonight. I mean, this was a very major international news story, but not in the way that you would hope. It wasn't like, you know, conservative, oh, I hate to use that word, but whatever you would want to identify yourself as. I know it's a tricky question, but, you know, Americans seeking to peaceably assemble in Hungary denied the opportunity or something of that nature. You know, Fox News, which is supposedly the conservative alternative to the liberal establishment media here, and I don't have it right here in front of me, Richard, but I was watching or rather reading on my iPhone earlier today, and the headline read something like this: extremist conference organized by radical group scuttled by Hungarian government, or something to that effect. And that was the Fox News headline. I mean, could you imagine if it had been a group of blacks or Jewish people or homosexuals attempting to have a conference to exchange ideas, and it had been shut down by a government and its organizers been sent to jail? Do you think the headline would have read the same?
No, I think they might have included Holocaust in the headline or something like that. I mean, it just, yes. I mean, the double standard is so glaring, it's ridiculous. That being said, we actually have generated some sympathy. Even people who express their loathing of our ideas, nevertheless, have effectively supported our right to speak. And you know, so I think that's kind of interesting. I think it's, you know, there's a strategy usually associated with Saul Alinsky, that is, you know, force them to play by their own rules. And, you know, I felt that we really had to do that. Remember, we are, the organizers are foreigners, and the speakers were foreigners. They're coming from France, Philippe Verdon, they're coming from Russia, Alexander Dugin, so on and so forth. That being said, according to the Hungarian constitution that was enacted in 2013, Hungarians have a right to a guaranteed basic right to freely assemble and express their views, including views that are critical of the government. And that is explicit in their constitution. So, again, these are your rules that we're playing by, so let's play by them. And, you know, I certainly recognize that this was, there was a risk involved with this. I certainly recognize that, you know, there could be some legitimate criticism of my defiance. But to be frank, I just don't give a damn. I don't regret anything about this. Because we were right, and we should have done it, and we did it. And we have got to be willing to do things like this. We've got to be willing to stand up. We've got to be willing to be arrested. And I think we all proved that.
Richard, I want to ask you this, and this is an important question. I want to spend the majority of our final segment together tonight, which will be after the next commercial break, talking about your experience in jail and what that was like. And then your return home. But I want to ask you this. If you had a choice between the conference going off as planned, a well-attended event of great speakers from around the world, and it had gone off exactly as you had planned versus the way it turned out, do you think there's something to be gained by your imprisonment, by the detainment and expulsion of William Regnery, the publishing heir, our good friend?
Yeah.
Which would you rather have? Do you think there's more to gain from how it played out, or would you have rather it just gone off without a hitch and then you'd been able to enjoy the fruits of your labor? Let's not forget, you didn't even get to attend the conference that you spent so many years organizing.
Yeah, I know, it's true. Well, I think you're asking a question that I think you're leading me to the answer, and that is that, in a way, I am glad this happened. You know, we wasted a lot of time and money planning a conference. But in a way, I'm glad this happened because it was an important test. And I think it can also be an important symbol of our resolve that we don't obey cowards like Viktor Orban. We do not obey them. Viktor Orban is a former member of the Communist Party youth group, and then he became some great reformer in the 90s, and now he's a conservative. So you could say that he's a great pragmatist, or you could say that he knows which way the wind's blowing. And you can tell which one I think. I think he's a typical sociopathic politician who knows which way the wind's blowing, he plays the little game, and he stays elected, and he lives out his, you know, little life as a, you know, on taxpayer-funded career. So I think we don't obey these people. These people do not have sovereignty over us, and they're going to have to arrest us. Because I don't respect Viktor Orban. I think Viktor Orban is a coward and an utter phony, and we defeated him. There is no other way that you can look at this situation and think that the Hungarian government, the Conservative Party, scored a victory. They look like a bunch of jerks. They are arresting foreign visitors who want to attend the country and talk. They are arresting us for what we think. It is the most pathetic and disgusting form of government action I could imagine, and they're engaging in it. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we've got to be willing to do. We're going to be tested by cowards like Viktor Orban, and we have to stand up to them, and we can defeat them.
Well, we can and we will, and you did, Richard Spencer. Viktor Orban, of course, the Prime Minister of Hungary, and this pathetic engagement of thought suppression. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk one more segment with Richard about this right after this. Stay tuned, folks.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
As it always seems to do on the political cesspool, this hour is flying by far too quickly. Richard Spencer, our guest tonight, and we're very proud to have him, especially under the circumstances. A lot can change in a week. We could go tonight, as we were on the air with Paul Fromm, Richard was languishing in a jail cell in Budapest for merely daring to think freely ladies and gentlemen, if this had happened to any other person than a white heterosexual male, this would have been international headlines. And in fact, it was international headlines. That's what's so sad. Mm-hmm. And Richard was denounced for having dared to think freely. It's not that it didn't make news. It made news in all the wrong ways. But there was some good news that came from it. I thought the BBC's report was very fair. And there were some others that we'll take note of. But Richard, let's fast forward, if we may, all the way to the night that the conference was to begin. You were at a restaurant, a private gathering, completely off the radar, not an official function, if you will, of the European Congress. But you were there and you were sharing in fellowship with other free thinkers, and about 50 uninvited guests descended upon you, all members of the police force there in Hungary. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, it was actually Friday, and it was the night before the Congress, and I had been receiving a lot of emails from people who were saying, you know, gosh, I am just raring to go. Like, let's meet up. And, you know, we're all here. We've got to share drinks. And so I sent out an email. Perhaps I shouldn't have, or perhaps I actually should have, because as I'll go into the discussion, it was actually, in a way, a good thing that I got arrested. And I think that actually allowed the Congress to take place. So anyway, I sent out an email and I said, you know, I'm going to be here for about 2 hours. If anyone wants to meet up, let's do it. It was an email to everyone who had said that they were coming to the Congress. So anyway, we all met, and it was really everything that I desired for the Congress was taking place right before my eyes. We had people there. There were some Canadians, people from Britain, people from Scandinavia, people from Belgium, people from Central Europe, Germans, everyone there. And granted, you know, it was the night before the conference. It was mostly, you know, younger men. Everyone there were comrades and brothers. We felt as if we had known each other for years. There was just a vigorous discussion. People were sharing wine and beer and so on and so forth. It was just a great evening. And I was actually talking to a journalist a little bit. So I thought, you know, again, I thought we're going to really pull this off. And then I looked behind me, and there is a police detail that have basically trapped us in the bar. So there were only about three or four. Let's all try to leave. But that was actually impossible. There were, it's hard to estimate, dozens outside, including ununiformed police officers who are actually directing things. They trapped us in the bar for at least an hour. And at that time, they were asking for passports and they're writing down names. And at that point, I was actually playing dumb. I was kind of saying, oh, I'm just a tourist. I forgot my passport. And as this went on, I basically discovered that they somehow knew that we were there. There was either someone forwarded the email, there was an insider, who knows what happened, but it happened. And so I was there, and I thought to myself, I think one of the only possible ways out is for me to actually give myself up, tell them who I am, and that if they find me, I'm the one with the travel ban, I'm the one that is being targeted, that they'll probably let the group free. And that strategy actually worked. So I stopped playing dumb. I handed them my driver's license, actually, because I wasn't carrying my passport. And they basically, you know, after this almost, you know, hour and a half ordeal, they basically took me. And everyone else was free, and everyone else was able to attend the conference on Saturday. From there, I was shuttled to and fro to this bureaucracy, to that. I went to police stations and so on and so forth. It was a terrible night in terms of sleep deprivation. I don't think I got to sleep until about 6 p.m. the next day. So it was quite awful. Endless paperwork and Magyar, no one telling me what my crime was. I was actually never officially arrested until the next morning. So I was basically captured without anyone telling me why. Or when this would end, or where we're going. I mean, it was truly Kafkaesque.
Well, let's pause right there if we can, because I know we established last week with Paul Fromm and Sam Dixon that obviously Bill Regnery of the Regnery Publishing House was detained at the airport in Hungary and detained overnight and then expelled. But you spent what seems to be, 12 to 24 hours in detention before being formally charged. When you were officially arrested, were you ever charged with something official, or what did they say?
Yes. Basically, I ended up in the immigration office, and I was given a hearing. And when I was speaking with an immigration officer who actually spoke English, he told me that I had been declared a national security threat. Sounds a bit Orwellian, don't you think?
Oh man, that's incredible! I mean, so you're put up there. Well, you know, this is especially rich coming from Europe, which is overwhelmed with immigration from the Muslim countries in which their women are raped and their people are done with, I guess, whatever they desire. These infiltrators. But you were the security risk, an intellectual, a graduate with a double, with degrees from the University of Chicago and Virginia, respectively, and you are the threat.
Yeah, you know, ISIS, Richard Spencer, you know, we're into the world. It's terrible. In a way, I'm glad that they said that, because it just makes it even more ridiculous. You know, a national security threat. So apparently our ideas are like the Ebola virus or something. They'll just infect people.
Well, hey, if you had the Ebola virus, Richard, at least in terms of the United States of America, you would have been welcomed in with open arms and given, you know, $500,000 worth of free health care. That wouldn't have been
That's
a problem
right,
at
yeah.
all if you had only had the Ebola virus. Unfortunately, you had a healthy and righteous ideas in your mind, which is far more virulent than the Ebola. But while you're in jail, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Are you concerned while you're in jail? I mean, you're there, and I don't guess you know exactly how long you'll be there. Obviously, you know you're going to miss the conference. Are you concerned with your treatment?
Not really. To be honest, not really. And I don't, you know, I had visions while I was being taken to jail. I was cuffed, and I was put in a cage car and taken out there. So I had visions of, you know, all these story, you know, these shows you might see on cable news after 11 p.m. or, you know, these gang fights or the Aryan Brotherhood or people tattooed and makeshift knives. Yeah, it was not like that. I just simply need to be honest. It was a civilized place. It was basically some Asians and Asians in sweatpants. It was not that bad.
Inquiring minds wants to know. I've received several dozen emails since you've come on the air tonight, and we can't possibly reach them all. But I mean, did you share a cell? Were you a high profile criminal that got a room of his own, or how was that?
No, it was in solitary confinement. No, it was in a detention center where for people who are basically in transit. So. Some of these people, I actually talked to some of them that had, you know, been in prison for 5 years in Hungary, and basically they were here for a month or two before they were deported. So it was something like that. I actually did share a cell with an English speaker who was actually taken with me for unknown reasons. So that was actually good. There was someone to talk to. But, I'm really not going to – I don't want to romanticize myself too much. There was some suffering. But in terms of a jail, I never feared for my life. And I was never brutalized by police. Effectively, the night was exhausting and it was confusing. But at no point did I fear for my life. It's a civilized place, and you know they don't have the, let's just say the prison population that the United States does. It was different.
And thank God for that. You were subjected to treatment that you certainly didn't deserve. I think I heard you say it before: hard benches and bright lights, but certainly not brutalized in any stretch of the imagination. We may have to keep you, Jared Taylor, the man who de facto stepped into your place after you were escorted away. and played a lead role in the conference that was to be after your abduction, if you will. He's going to be on with us for the entire second hour. I may ask you, Richard, if you have the time. I know you have a family to tend to and other pressing affairs of state. I may ask you to stay with us one more segment, if you can, after the extended commercial break that we'll go into at the end of the hour. But one of the questions that has come in from our mutual friend, Alex Kurtigick, is what kind of questions were you asked during your interrogation? You were there for 3 days, 2 or 3 days. What did they ask you? I mean, how did you pass the time? What did they do to keep you that long? Well, with actually, that, of course, there's the commercial. We'll pick up on that. I'll let you mull that question over. When we come back, we'll be with Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor, who is our second hour guest. Right after this, the party continues on the Political Cesspool.
The Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.